Welcome everyone. I am Özlem Özkan from Amsterdam and I am your host for Bridging. Bridging is a podcast which will take you on a bridge to somewhere else. Sometimes it will take you to a very familiar place and sometimes it will take you to a very new place. In Bridging, I'm having conversations with people from all over the world. We are exploring different viewpoints. We talk about entrepreneurship, cultural diversity, self-empowerment, personal growth, and other topics that shape our universe.
Today, my guest is Adam Ashton. Adam is based in Melbourne, Australia. And as you know, I really like exploring different viewpoints. And Adam is the first guest ever on Bridging, which is from Australia. I'm really excited for this. Adam is the co-host and co-producer of the podcast, What Will You Learn? In this podcast, he is interviewing different authors which have written business, entrepreneurship, and self-help books. He has interviewed great names such as Seth Godin, Greg McKeown, David Allen, Simon Sinek, Gretchen Rubin, and all other authors. Adam and I talk about what kind of impact reading books can have on your life. We also talk about how you can establish a reading habit. I'm really excited. I don't want to give away that much. Here is Adam.
When you read a book, totally changes the meaning of that book. You know, in a specific time of life, maybe you read a book and think it's awesome, and then you read it 2 years later and you think, why did I like this book? It's useless. It's so obvious. I know all this stuff now. Or it could go the other way, whereas like you read it at first and think, it sounds like it makes sense, but it doesn't really make sense. And then 3 years later, you revisit it and it just like clicks and it all makes sense. You tie all your different experiences together. And then as you say, like rereading the book's the same, but because you've changed so much over the year, you read the book totally differently.
Okay. Welcome, Adam Ashton, to the podcast Bridging.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. Appreciate the invite. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, I look forward to it too. You joined in from Melbourne, Australia, where it is now evening and also winter, right?
That's right. We've got our first, they're teasing us. We've only got a few more days of winter and the Weather Bureau reckons that there's some nice sunshine coming. We haven't seen the sun for a while, so I hope they're right.
Oh, so that means spring is going to start in Melbourne.
Hopefully.
So we are almost reaching the end of summer here in Amsterdam in whole Europe and the autumn is coming. So it's really actually weird, but I'm so happy that we can connect via this channel here, even though you are in a winter zone and evening in Melbourne,
that's
Australia.
The magic of podcasting.
So Adam, I reached out to you to talk about books because you are a podcaster. You make already for 4 years now with your partner Adam, other Adam.
The other Adam,
you make podcasts which is called What You Will Learn. And what you do in this podcast is you interview the authors of the books or you discuss a book that you have been reading together with the other Adam. And first of all, my question is, how did you decide to start this podcast, What You Will Learn?
Yeah, for us, for the other Adam, Jonesy and I, we were both super interested in books, in reading, in podcasting, in business, in entrepreneurship, in all those things. And so we'd met each other at a pub and then we ran into each other again at uni and we sort of started trying a few different things together. We tried a few small businesses together. We tried a few small businesses separately. Some worked okay. Most of them just fell miserably flat. So this was just, I guess, the next thing that we tried. We both thought, hey, we both love reading books. We both love listening to podcasts. We were already sort of like meeting once a week to discuss the books we were reading. So it just, I guess, was like a natural evolution that we just whacked a microphone in between the two of us and started talking. And that was the first episode.
Okay. So you already actually come from a background that you started things up together. You started, you stopped, you started, you stopped. But this podcast, What You Will Learn, is already in there for 4 years, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a pretty long project. I suppose it's like the longest I've ever done anything. Like, I've had like, since I finished uni, which was like 4 years, and I've had like 3 different jobs in the last 4 years. So none of those have hit the 4-year mark. So this is like, I guess, the longest I've committed to something, really.
Yeah. What do you think it is that this takes a longer time than the other things you have done?
Yeah, we both love it. We both love doing it. And I think as part of that was we didn't put too much pressure on it. So it's sort of, I guess, been a hobby. Started as a hobby, and it's that we started in a very easy way. So like literally the first episode was a short book. It was Derek Sivers, Anything You Want, which is like 100 pages or something. So we could easily read it within a week.
Yeah.
We hit start. We talked for 20 minutes. We hit stop. We didn't edit. We didn't change anything. We literally just uploaded it, and that was it. And so because it was so easy, then we're like, that wasn't so bad. We can do that again. So then the next week, we did the same thing. We hit start, talked for 20 minutes, hit stop, uploaded it. That was it. And so we kept it easy. We kept it simple. And we just kept going. And then gradually over time, we built in more and more and more complexity. We did more and more stuff throughout the week. And it sort of got to this point where we're both investing, I don't know, probably 25 hours a week on the side of our normal full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we started easy is how we got here. If we had said at the start, man, you got to do this every single week. You got to do hours every day. You got to do, you know, a full day on the weekend, and you got to put in so much work. You got to read so many books, take so many notes, do all this editing, do all this promotion. We probably would have thought, sounds too hard. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's because we started so easy that we were able to keep going.
And that's what you hear a lot, eh? Like when people start easy or just do things easy without having big expectations, they just kind of relax in the situation and things just work out because they just keep doing it without any pressure and they enjoy it. Because, you know, what I understood is you guys already loved reading. You already did it. There was not a side thing. Now we need to read books because we are making a podcast about books.
I think it's sort of like we didn't like see it as work. It was just a hobby. It was just fun. It wasn't like, you know, you have to go to school and you have to read this book and write an essay about this book. It was much more enjoyable the way that we framed it. We were just doing something we enjoyed. We read the books that we enjoyed. So it was fun.
So you have interviewed so many authors, also a lot of authors that I read books of. For example, Seth Godin, you interviewed him about his different books. I listened to the last one, the Linchpin one. You interviewed Greg McKeown. I hope I say his name right. You know, this book I love so much, Essentialism. David Allen, Getting Things Done, from Simon Sinek. Even during the corona, you have interviewed him when he was in LA, as far as I understood, and you were in Melbourne. And, you know, I can just, of course, count all the other authors too, but it is so amazing that you got the chance to interview the people that have written the books. It's not only the reading, but you really listen to them and get a lot of background information, most probably.
Yeah, it's incredible for us. Like we were just, as I said, we were both working in a pub. That's where we first met each other, me and Jonesy. And to think that we could go from there to be interviewing like our favorite authors, like our all-time heroes, like all the ones you rattled off, plus, you know, like Robert Greene, The 48 Laws of Power, Robert Cialdini, Influence, Gretchen Rubin, The Happiness Project.
Yeah.
All these people who were like I don't know, they were just like idols to us. We read their books and we knew they were like sort of real people, but we never thought that we would be able to speak to these people. So it's pretty incredible. Yeah.
So what do you think the books that you are reading and, you know, a lot of people are reading, especially the nonfiction part, there's a lot of business there, entrepreneurship and personal growth. What do you think these books are good for that in general people read? I'm not talking about fiction. I'm just really talking about nonfiction.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first and most important thing that these nonfiction books do, I think, is give you a different idea or a different way of doing things. So in your normal life, most people go to the average school, they live in an average sort of a house in an average neighborhood, and their parents have got an average sort of a job, and their neighbors have got average jobs. They go to a average school, get you know, hopefully above average grades, you do well, you go to university, you get a job. It's all like pretty standard, I guess, pretty normal. But then when you read a book, you realize that maybe there's a different way of doing things, or maybe there's a different approach. Maybe, you know, you think it's scary to talk in public, and then you read a public speaking book and it gives you three easy steps to get over your fears or something like that. So then you, all of a sudden you realize, actually, maybe speaking in public isn't so scary. Maybe I can do it this way instead. Or if you think, you know, that, as I mentioned, you know, that path is the same for everybody. You work for 50 years, you save, you invest, and then hopefully eventually you retire. That's just one way of doing things. And you read a different book and realize, actually, maybe there's a different way to do it. Maybe you don't have to work so much, or maybe you can have like bursts of retirement in between your full-time job, or, you know, maybe you can, instead of working every day, maybe you work 4 days a week and have a hobby on the side. Like, there's all these different ways of doing things. So I think the question of what do these books do, I think the first thing is just open your eyes to different possibilities.
So they provide you actually different viewpoints. That's what I understand, right?
Yeah, that's right. And like, every book's different, and it's not like every book's got their own ideas and their own approach. And I think for us reading so many different books, we realize that, okay, they're kind of all true. Even if like two books say the exact opposite thing, they're both kind of right. And you get the choice to then pick, okay, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. Which path do you want to take?
Just a break for 1 minute, because I have a really nice message for you. I am so happy and at the same time very excited to announce that the book I have written, The Student Reflections of the Heart and Mind, is now in pre-order on Amazon. If you would like to pre-order The Student, please go to Amazon, search for The Student Reflections of the Heart and Mind by Özlem Özkan. Do not forget the double dots on both of the O's of my name, or find the link on my Instagram or in the episode notes.
Okay. And you know, there's also a lot of, I am reading a lot of self-help books, business and entrepreneurship books. I like it. I'll read it for the past 15 years, maybe. But there's, since maybe the last few years, 4 or 5 years, there's a hype going on about self-help books, and people, like, you know, there are a lot of posts. They also say, like, read one book in a week, and how can you do this faster? And it's really good to just get all this information in it. So people kind of like in a competition to read as much as they can, a lot of books, you know. What do you think about that? That's the speed of reading a book.
Yeah, I think that was probably me a couple of years ago as well, wanting to read as much as possible. And I think now, I just actually the other day, I think a week ago, I hit my 300th book. So I use Goodreads, which is just an app where I track all the books I've read as I'm going. And I've just cracked 300 since I started about 5 years ago. And for me, at first, quantity was important. And I liked always seeing how many books can I read this year? Can I beat that goal next year? Whereas now I think it's more about quality. I think I've got a lot of the foundations there. You know, I've read, you know, most of the really well-known books that I wanted to read. Now it's like, okay, what else can I find? What's the little nuances or the specific different little ideas? Whether it's a different area that I haven't covered too much, or maybe that's one area that I really like that I want to go deeper on. And so I think for me, it's less about the speed or the quantity of information, and more about, I guess, the quality of the synthesis of that information. So for us, we read a book every week, but we're not just reading it once, because we read it, but then throughout the week we read it, we're taking notes in the book, like physically with a pencil and stuff, we're taking notes. And then on, you know, in the middle of the week, one of us will take it in turns each week. One of us will do the first lot of notes. Whether we're taking the notes from our book, putting them onto a computer, turning them into like a mind map, like what are the different categories? What are the main different lessons? How can we like rearrange this to make the best podcast episode? Then the other person will hand it over and they'll change it again. They'll rearrange it again. So they're sort of like editing the notes. and then we'll have a discussion between the two of us where we'll walk through it in order, we'll discuss it, and then we actually record the episode. And then after we record it, we got to listen back when we edit it. Then we got to listen back before we publish it to make sure we didn't miss anything. Then we write a blog post about it. So it's sort of like within 1 week, we're doing all this extra work that we're not just reading the book once. We're sort of like almost reading the book like 6 or 7 times to be able to really get that quality of really retaining and synthesizing that information as well as possible.
You're really like kind of studying it and analyzing the book instead of only reading it one time.
Yeah, that's right. And I can imagine if I was back in high school, if I said, like, I didn't really read books in high school. I was a maths nerd and a science nerd. So yeah. I can imagine if I said that you had to read the same book 7 times in 1 week, every yeah. single week forever, I'd be like, what the hell? What are you doing? Why are you reading so many books? And why are you being so nerdy about taking notes and like rearranging them and then editing those notes? And I would have laughed at myself, I think.
I also think, like, you know, it really depends the quality of the reading or the understanding of what you read depends of also of the mood you are in or the stage of your life, kind of. Like, for example, if you have just broken up with your ex, I'm just saying, and you read the 5 love languages of, what was he called, the author?
Gary Chapman.
Chapman. Indeed. And then, you know, it does so many different things to you. Maybe you're really reading it very deeply. Oh, I want to know, what did I do wrong? Or what can I do next time?
What did they do wrong?
What did they do wrong? Can be too, indeed. And or you are in a relationship, you read the book, and then you're looking at it from a very different angle. So actually, I reread books, and I have some books that I read every year again. It's kind of like, for example, The Alchemist. I read it every year again. I read every year again the book of Elif Shafak, The 40 Rules of Love. I use different kind of pens because I mark my books and I just make notes. It's my kind of a textbook. And then this year I used a pink marker, and then a yellow nice. Marker, then a black pen. And because for me, it was also really making sure I read as many books as I can, as many books. But then I had the knowledge, but sometimes I didn't apply the things that I wanted to apply in my daily life. And now I'm doing it very slow, making notes, and really also work on applying some of the things that I would like to apply.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I really like that, as you say, when you read a book, totally changes the meaning of that book. You know, in a specific time of life, maybe you read a book and think it's awesome, and then you read it 2 years later and you think, why did I like this book? It's useless. It's so obvious. I know all this stuff now. Or it could go the other way, whereas like you read it at first and think, it sounds like it makes sense, but it doesn't really make sense. And then 3 years later, you revisit it and it just like clicks and it all makes sense. You tie all your different experiences together. And then, as you say, like rereading the book's the same, but because you've changed so much over the year, you read the book totally differently. And like different bits will stand out to you and you'll take different lessons and realize, oh, this was awesome. It was here the whole time. I've already read this 3 times,
yeah.
But now it just makes so much sense if I apply it to this situation.
Yes, indeed. I agree with that. So, you know, I have some friends of mine that they know that I read a lot, and they also ask me a question. And I can also imagine that the listener now thinks like, hey, it's nice to read all these books, but we don't have time. There's no time to read books. I listen to podcasts or I listen to Audible. I do a lot of audiobooks instead of really reading. I enjoy really having the book in my hands, making notes. So what can we really suggest these listeners that actually would like to establish a reading routine, but they find it difficult? Do you have any recommendation that they can establish this habit?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the same advice of how we started the podcast. When we started the podcast, it was easy. You know, as I said, we just hit record, we talk for 20 minutes, we hit stop and we upload. It was easy. We weren't thinking, oh, we have to get it perfect. If we say one word wrong, we're going to have to redo it 3 times and then edit it later and think about it. You know, that just makes it too hard. I think the same with reading. If you think reading is like a chore that you have to do and you had this image, maybe your parents every night, they read for an hour after dinner or something before they went to bed. So you think, oh, reading a book means I have to lie still in my bed for 1 hour every single night after I finish dinner, after I wash up, after I've had a shower, then I have to lie there and read it for 1 hour. That's hard. I couldn't even do that now. So I think you need to make it easy. I think breaking it down into not thinking that you have to sit there for 1 hour at a time, realizing that, hey, you know, if I'm on the train for 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes that I can read. Or, hey, if I'm going to a dentist appointment, I'm sitting in the dentist's office, I've got to wait for 7 minutes. There's just like 7 minutes, you can read 2 pages. I think making it easy like that, rather than thinking that you have to carve out an entire chunk of time that you have to do just dedicated to reading. I think if you can work out how to like fit it into small gaps in your schedule already, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, okay. I like that easiness that you just have the intention to read it, but you put it somewhere in your daily schedule, and it just comes. You have the book always with you in your back or...
Yeah. And sort of like for us as well, like it built up over time. At the moment, we do a book every single week on the podcast, but I reckon I'm probably reading like at least like 6 to 7 books each month, and only 4 of them get on the podcast. So at the moment now, you know, 4.5 years in, I'm reading much more than 1 book a week. But if I go back to the very start, we like struggled. We struggled to get to 1 book every single week. Yes. We started off with a 100-page book and we could get there. And then we did like the second episode was like the 1 Minute Manager. So that was like another 80-page book. So we could do that easy. But then like we had to have a week off because we couldn't read a book, like a 200, 300-page book in 1 week, because it was just like impossible for us at the time. So like we had to skip a week. And then like 1 week we'd do like a documentary or we'd do a movie.
Yeah.
And then eventually we'd get back to that book because we'd finally finish reading it. So it was like a gradual build up over time until we could really get to that momentum of 1 book every single week.
So what you're saying actually is like it needs to evolve on your own time, whatever that is for you.
Yeah, that's right. And we had the pressure of the podcast. Like if there was no episodes, we're like, man, we got to hurry up and finish this book.
Yes,
and it still took us so long.
But I actually like that a little bit, because you have the pressure of the podcast. You have kind of set a goal, weekly intention that you will do the podcast. Then you will do the reading. You know, I think from my own experience, it's nice to have a great balance between the two. Not too much obsessive, I have to read today, but also not, let's see if I will have time, if I can read, like really making the intention that week or that day, I'm going to read. Maybe I'm going to read 10 minutes only. You start with 10 minutes and then 15, then maybe 20. And from my own experience, what you said initially about the dentist, I was reading a lot in the subway when I was living in Istanbul. That was my subway. When I was in the subway, my book was out. It was kind of a habit that I built in. I knew my brain made that connection. Subway is reading a book. And then, you know, nowadays, living back in Europe, I read every morning. And I have an intention to do 10 minutes, but usually it's longer. And then and the other book, I read 2 books. One in the morning, that's usually a textbook, which I really need to use my brain. A lot, like more like really think. I'm also waking up my brain. And in the evening, under my pillow, I have a book. So I know when I go to bed, there's the book out there. Then I'm reading more spiritual books or more novels that can also make me fall into sleep. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I liked it. I actually had a similar thing going as well. So I had on the train, so I had like this bag, which I would take to work. And then I'd have my laptop in there, but I'd always have 2 books in there as well. So on the train in the morning, I'd read like the harder book, similar to you. Like I'd read the one that took more effort to think about. And then on the way home, after like an 8-hour day in the office, I read the easier one, which was a bit easier to get through.
Yes, yes. I think, you know, everyone, it comes again to the awareness of you have about yourself, because what works for you might not work for me. And for every exactly, person, yeah. It is different. Is there a book that stayed with you, Adam, that made really also a difference in your life?
Yeah, one I really, really like, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Big fan of that book. It was like, I'd read it probably after a year and it went straight to like my number one on my list, and it stayed on my number one on my list for many, many years. And it's these like 7 things that I've reread it 3 or 4 times, and I keep thinking, like, you know, I've kind of read it before. Maybe it's not going to be that good. I don't want to read it again in case I like spoil the memory of what it was like. But every time I read it, it delivers the goods. One thing that really stuck with me is the idea of the circle of influence versus the circle of concern. So if you think about two circles, one inside the other, if you think about the circle of concern, there's all these things that you're thinking about all day, every day, the things that you're concerned about, you know, whether the train's going to be on time, whether your boss is going to like the project that you do, whether you're going to be able to read your book on the train or not, whether the client, you've got to make this phone call later on and the client might be annoyed at you because you did something wrong. There's all these things that you're always thinking about and the things that you're concerned about. But then there's another much smaller circle within that, which is your circle of influence. So that's the things that you can control. That's the things that you've got power over. So you do have power over, if you're writing a report, you've got the influence over how good you write that report. You don't have influence over what's my boss going to think of that report. You can't control that. The only thing you can control is how much effort you put into that report. The same thing is like the train. If you're thinking, oh man, I can't miss this train. I don't want the train to be canceled or the train to be late. You can't control the train timetable, the train schedule. All you can control is think, okay, what can I do? Maybe I can give myself a backup plan in case the train is canceled. Maybe I can drive. Maybe I can get the bus. Maybe I can just have a book. So if I have to wait 10 minutes, then I can read my book for 10 minutes.
Indeed. It's yes. I love this concept so, so much. And I'm reading actually the 7 habits of highly effective people now. I even listened to your podcast to just first get a sum up and then read it. But this guy, Stephen Covey, he also says, like, you know, this is not what I found out. I found it out by working with so many different people that already have established these things in their lives, in the business that they do. And it reminded me to this story about, what was this called? This Japanese samurai was there out there to kill someone, and he has this ritual, right? Like when he just kills someone, he takes a sword and just making a bow or something, he has a ritual and then he kills the person. So at the moment he goes it's violent, but at the moment he goes to the dragon that he needs to kill, he is there and the dragon spits in his face. And then at that moment, the dragon, the samurai steps back and he says, like, okay, this is it. And then he leaves. And everyone asks, why didn't you kill him? He even spits in your face. Because I didn't want to kill him because out of a reaction. Ooh, you know, yeah. I have my own ritual. I didn't want to kill him because of a reaction of his spit. And it, I think it is a little bit deeper than what you maybe just said about you decide how you react on everything.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah, that's it.
And if you have your own values right, if you think like, hey, this is what I want, how I want to live my life, then nothing and no one can just decide that.
Yeah. There's Covey talks about the gap between stimulus and response. So there's always something in the outside world that happens, and then we think whatever happens, then we respond to it. But he said there's always a gap there. There's always a gap, and that's where you get to decide what your reaction is. As you say, like you don't just react straight away. The samurai is not just straight away slitting that dragon's throat or chopping his head off. The samurai, he's got a moment. He recognizes he's got that gap there where he can stop, he can pause, he can think, and then decide. And that's something we've all got, where we do have that power to be proactive rather than reactive, where we can stop, pause. Something's happened. We can't control whatever's happened out there. The only thing we can control is how we react.
I like the word pause, Adam. Pause, like really whatever you get this phone call or your boss says this, just pause for a moment. Enjoy the awkward silence even. Cool.
It often is uncomfortable and it is awkward. Nobody likes it. But if you can sit with that awkwardness, as you say, if you can pause, then you're going to have a lot better response if you're able to wait it out rather than just reacting straight away.
Yes. So you guys are writing a book or have written already a book, Adam and Adam.
That's right.
From
what
you will learn. Can you tell us a little bit about the book? Where is it about? What is it about?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. It's been a bit of a journey for us. And we don't really have a title yet, but it could be something along the lines of like the reading journey. It might end up being something like that, or the book journey or something along those lines. But we just thought, like, after like 3.5 years, we'd read, you know, 200 books that we'd done on the podcast, that we wanted to do something, somewhere where we can bring all these ideas together. Like, as you said, everybody wants to read more, but it's like, how do you find the time? So we sort of solved one problem of being like, okay, well, we'll break down the books so you can get the best bits in 30 minutes rather than 10 hours of reading time. But then the next problem was like, okay, well, there's so many different ideas out there. How do all these ideas work together? How do they tie in together? How do the books relate to each other? So the book was us trying to solve that problem, was trying to link all these different ideas together. And so what we've sort of done is picked out, you know, the 3 or 4 best books on negotiation. What are all the advice from those 3 or 4 books? How do we tie that into one, like the ultimate guide to negotiation type of thing? And then it's like, okay, what about public speaking? What are some of the best books on public speaking, and what's the best advice from public speaking? And then things like, you know, how do you get a promotion, or how do you progress in your career? Okay, these two books say this thing, these two books say this thing, these two books say this thing. How do we tie these all together into like one package of career advice? So that's sort of like how we're trying to pull all these different ideas together into one book that is effectively like 120 books in one type of thing.
It is about career advice, and then, you know, you have public speaking, negotiation, and what are the other topics that you have?
Yeah.
There?
Okay, so I'll go back even one step further. Then is we're sort of like, okay, there's all these different types of books that we read on the podcast. Like when we started out, it was mostly business books, but then we thought, okay, well, there's also like, not everybody wants to start a business. Maybe some people want to get better in their career, so we started reading some career books. And then there's, you know, like personal development habit types of books. And then there's like health books. And then there's like, you know, spirituality books. And then there's philosophy books. So there's like all these different categories that we've read on the podcast. And we realized that we're sort of interested in everything. And some people are interested in everything. But some people just, they know they want to start a business. So they just want to learn about, they want to learn about making a product. They want to learn about getting ideas. They want to learn about building a team. They want to learn about managing. They want to learn about marketing. And then there's some people that are like, I don't want to start a business. I just want to get good at my job. So they want to, you know, they want to learn, how should I like plan my career? How can I get a promotion? How can I negotiate a pay rise? How can I get good at public speaking? And they're sort of like two different people, the business person and the career person.
Yeah.
So I guess what the book is doing, we've got like 120 books in one, but you don't have to read all 120. We're doing it almost like a choose your own adventure, you know, like the reading journey. So like you're sort of like going through this journey. So maybe you start off with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
And then after that, you've got a choice. We'll say, hey, do you want to learn about career, or do you want to learn about business, or do you want to learn about spirituality? And that will take you to a different part of the book. Then you might read these 3 topics, and then you've got a choice. What do you want to learn next? Do you want to learn public speaking? Do you want to learn negotiation?
It's almost like a game.
Teaching? Almost.
It's almost like a game. You read one part, then you get a suggestion. And what would you like to learn now? And then you get forward to another level, to another line or something. I like this a lot. Oh, and then.
Yeah. And it just sort of like came from the idea that like, we started off with just like, hey, read all these books. But then we're like, not everybody needs to read all these books. Some people like history. Some people don't care about history. Some people like science. Some people couldn't care less about science.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, if you're interested in it, go to this page. You can read these books and that'll be great. And some people are like, I don't want to read that. So I'm just going to like skip over these 30 pages. I want to go over this direction instead.
But I am so interested in hearing if the book is out after, when someone reads it 5 years later again. So because something that you might be interested now, maybe 5 years later, you're like, oh, but I skipped this chapter. Why did I even skip this chapter? Now it is so important to me. So
That's it.
Where can we find the book? When is it coming out?
Yeah, the book has taken on a lot of evolution. So it started out, as I said, just as like almost like a list of 100 book summaries almost in one. Yeah. And then we thought it was a bit dry, it was a bit boring. So we added a bit more personality, a bit more life. That was the next version. Then the next version was this like choose your own adventure categories type of thing that I explained. So I reckon probably early 2021, I reckon. We've sort of finished writing version two. We're going to do a bit of cleanup. We're going to get a designer. We're going to get an editor, all that type of thing. But I'd say like probably early 2020. Hang on, what did I say? 2021?
2021, yeah,
early,
yes.
Early 2021.
4 or 5 months. In 4 or 5 months.
This year, 2020 is like going crazy, yeah.
That's what I meant. So, but I think they can follow the updates on what you will learn, the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other channels. And you also have a YouTube channel, right?
We do have a YouTube channel, which is mostly just the audio version with just like a blank screen. Some of the interviews we've done are video interviews, so they're up on YouTube as well. But I think probably the best way to stay updated on the book is we did like what we called our top 50 best books of all time, which is like a free PDF. So on the website whatyouwilllearn.com, I'm sure all over it you'll see like different ways you can sign up to get the top 50. I think whatyouwilllearn.com/top50 will take you there as well. And that's where we'll send you the book. And that sort of like was the spark of the idea of this big book. So you can start off with the top 50, which is just like a one paragraph on our favorite 50 books. And then we're like, well, we want more. Like, how do we like give more books? How do we give more ideas? How do we tie all these ideas together? So that was sort of like the first spark of the idea for the full book, which is coming soon.
So if you want to get a sneak peek of the full book, go to whatyouwilllearn.com.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And is there a last message, Adam, that you would like to give to book lovers or people that that want to start reading more books and that want to learn more?
Yeah, I think for me, something that I'm just learning myself is read the things that you're interested in. It sounds like really obvious advice. But for me, I sort of went through a patch this year where I'd read 250, 270, 280 books or whatever. I'd sort of read all the best stuff. And it was sort of like getting a little bit repetitive. Like I'd read the best stuff. So then like the second best books all sort of copy the best books. And it's the same sort of ideas. And I was sort of reading them because I felt like I had to. They were popular. Everybody was talking about them. So I felt like I had to read them. But I just realized recently I should just read the things that I want to read. I've got a huge stack of books I haven't read yet. And I'm always like buying them. And I think I'll read them later. But I feel like when I get that idea, when I want to read a different type of book, I should just read it. So if there's ever something that sparks your interest or you hear about a book and you think that sounds awesome, then read it at that point. Don't think, I'll buy it and I'll read it later, because that interest, I guess, will wane.
I really love this suggestion, Adam. I really, really, because what I feel is like a lot of people are reading books because they might think it is good for you. Let me just do it. But they might not be interested in it. And this advice I got from my gym teacher a few years ago, I was doing a lot of sports, but I was like, oh, I don't want it, but I need to go. Then he said, you should choose a sport that you like, that you love. Then I started kickboxing and I was like, I love it. I'm doing it. And then it was fun. All of a sudden, yeah. The exercising changed into fun. And I think also with books or with anything, you should really read it if you're interested in that topic or in that book, in the writer. So great advice.
Yeah, it seems like such obvious. It seems so obvious, but at the same time, like it's kind of hard. Like there's always things that you feel like you should be doing, but you should just be picking the things that you want to do instead. And you can do all the shoulds. You can read those later.
Indeed, indeed. Maybe years later. So thanks so much, Adam, for this conversation. Learned a lot. I will definitely follow you on whatyouwilllearn.com and also, of course, listen more to the podcast. Each time when I read a book, I start with the summary on What You Will Learn. Thanks so much for this conversation.
Fantastic. It was great to chat. And I look forward to seeing more and more and more of your episodes as well.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have loved this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on Instagram at OzkanOzlem, at OzkanOzlem. If you want to let me know what you have enjoyed, or you want to share your takeaways with me, or you want to let me know what you want to hear in the next episode of Bridging, find the latest post on Instagram
and leave a comment or ask a question. Thank you so much for listening.